children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to
Welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician, the holographic gypsy at this point. I am traveling around all over the place, so first of all, let me apologize to those who love to use the fast chat because I can't see you. I have no internet connection at the moment. I know, how barbaric. It just amazes me when people don't have an internet connection and don't have wireless and all that stuff, but I guess I'm a techno geek. Okay, I give up. Anyway, tonight it is going to be me speaking to you about healing, which I have vast experience with. And so before we get into that, I would like to thank our lovely sponsor, and that would be Hydromay Skin Nutrition, organic, natural skin nutrition. Your skin loves it. It's non-greasy. It's wonderful. If you haven't tried it, please do. And I'm going to mention that at the end of the show, too. But in case you are not familiar with them, you can click on their ad off of my page as well as off of the main page on BBS Radio. And you can also go to hydramay.com, H-Y-D-R-A-M-E.com. And that's pretty neat stuff. Okay, so tonight, it may turn out to be a little bit shorter tonight. I'm not quite sure. But I wanted to talk to you about some things that are really important in healing. I've run into quite a few people who are just starting on the path of being a healer this weekend, and they're making some pretty big mistakes. I don't think we need to make those mistakes. And so I'd like to mention a few things to you. So bear with me if you're an experienced healer. Also, if you would like a healing, please do call in, because we're going to be doing that tonight. And call in at any time. You know, you can't derail the train because the train's not on track anyway, so don't worry about it. If you want to call in and get some healing, we'll get everybody on the air to do that with you. And it's pretty amazing stuff if you haven't experienced that. So the first thing I wanted to talk about is that there is something called soul retrieval. And, you know, I've had the soul retrieval teachers on a couple times. And the reason is because soul retrieval is integral to every tribe all over the world. And the thing that's interesting about it is that all the tribes have done it exactly the same way. Now, I find that to be very strange. So either this is something that the shaman all figured out a long time ago, or they were given the knowledge from space beings or from ascended masters. I don't know. But somehow, everyone on the planet does soul retrieval the same way. So if you're not familiar with soul retrieval, let me go into that first. Why we have the need for it and what it really entails. The first thing is that whenever you have a shock to your system, whether it's mental, emotional, physical, or spiritual, anything that causes that type of a reaction, the more intense that reaction is, the more likely it is that you're going to have a piece of your soul splinter off. And if you think that's ridiculous, let me remind you that they have weighed the difference in a body between life and death is about 13 ounces. So what is that? And where does that 13 ounces go? So I can tell you metaphysically that there's an energy that happens and part of it flees. And having had it done myself many times and done it on other people, I can tell you that it's like a piece of a brilliant diamond has cleaved off and has flown away someplace, you know not where. It could be any place in this universe, in any of the other universes, in another time period, in another dimension, in the underworld, in the middle world, in higher worlds. It could be anywhere. And so the job of a soul retrieval practitioner is to go find the pieces and bring them back. Now, why? One of the biggest questions people ask me when I start telling them about this stuff is they give me the look like I've just grown a second head. The biggest reason that you want your pieces back is because you're not whole without them. It's that simple. Just imagine that if you had this brilliant diamond and you had a brilliant light from heaven shining through it, just think of all the refractive, beautiful colors you would get. And now start chipping off pieces of that diamond. And after a while, you're not going to have much refraction at all. Yeah, it'd still glow a little bit, but it would be weak. It would be diffuse. You wouldn't have the brilliant rainbow colors. And so if you think of it kind of that way, and think of the soul as this brilliant diamond, then you might realize why it's important to have your pieces back. And if you're energetically sensitive, you will feel those pieces when they come back. The practitioner goes out, finds them, they journey. And you normally put yourself into a trance with drumming to do that. And everybody all over the world does it the same way. So it's very rapid drumming, which, by the way, sounds exactly like the theta and delta binaural beats. So, So if you're feeling a light bulb pop on over your head, especially with what I've been talking about over the last month about the theta isochronic tones and the binaural beats, this is part of it. And so you do this drumming, and it brings you to the twilight place where you can then dissociate your consciousness enough to send it elsewhere. And you do truly send it elsewhere. You know, you don't notice what's happening with your body most of the time when you do this as a practitioner. You just go. And you have different elemental beings and animals and things like that, and sometimes people or angels or whatever, that are going and helping you. And so what they do is they go through the different places. Some will go to the underworld, some go to the higher world, some go to the middle world, some, you know, go throughout the universes, and they search for any piece of you. And they bring these pieces back. It might be one piece, it might be 20 or 30 or 1,000. And when that piece comes back, the practitioner will blow it into you. So it's normally 4 quick breaths from where the piece is held in the hand, and the breaths blow it into your heart, and then they seal it on your heart, and then there's 4 quick breaths on the top of your head. Now, remember, breath is called espiritus. So all you good Catholics out there, espiritus, hello, the Holy Spirit. So we're using the Holy Spirit, the breath, to assist in this. Now, there are things that have been found through many different cultures that are called soul catchers. And they take various forms, but they're all very similar. And the idea is that you go grab the soul and you hold it tight and you bring it back. Now, one of the really important parts of a soul retrieval is that you are supposed to tell the piece of the soul that the person wants it back. And you have a dialogue with this piece of the soul. And sometimes those pieces are real happy where they are, and they have no desire to come back. And they will tell you, no, I left because my person or the rest of my soul was in pain. It didn't want to come back. And so then what you have to do is have a dialogue with the person and say, look, I've got a piece of your soul here, and it says you're an old fuddy-duddy, and you never have any fun, and all you do is whine, bitch, moan, and complain, and it doesn't want to be back. So the only way you're going to get stronger, the only way you're going to be able to progress in life, is you're going to have to take this soul piece back, so you better make an agreement. And so then you ask the soul piece, what is it that you need in order to stay with this person? And it'll tell you. It sounds crazy, I know, but it works. And so it'll tell you. I had one that I did on a friend, and she had an incident that happened when she was, I forget now, 4 or 6 or something like that, where her father had had a bad day, and he came in and he screamed at her while she was playing with her dolls. She was an innocent little kid. And he screamed at her and yelled at her that, you know, life was all about hard work and she better learn that damn fast and things like that. and she was in such shock that a piece of her soul flew off. I found the piece in the Cave of Lost Children. I brought it back, and it said, she doesn't know how to have fun, and I'm not staying with her unless she puts some fun into her life. And I looked at her, and I thought, well, if soul piece is right, you know, I know this person, and she's always, you know, work, work, work. Life is serious. You know, you have to work. And so I described what she was wearing when this happened. And she just kind of looked at me funny because she doesn't believe in all this stuff. You know, she looked at me and she said, you know, if the dog hadn't eaten it, I would still have that dress. But she said, I don't remember the incident you're talking about. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is to tell you this. When you have a traumatic incident that happens, no matter what it is, even if you think it's nothing from your adult stance, it can be really traumatic from a child stance, whatever. But, you know, I mean, we hide a lot of things that happen to us, and we think they're nothing, but they affect us profoundly. When you have that instance of shock, any trauma, you will not remember the actual moment of the trauma. You will remember 1 second before the trauma, and you will remember after the trauma, but you won't remember the actual trauma itself in that instant when it was the worst. That's a protective measure that the brain takes. It wants to protect us because if it didn't, we would die. It would be too much of a flood of catecholamines, and we just wouldn't be able to survive. And so all these things are in place in order to keep us living. And I can tell you when I had my car accident, I saw the car coming. I knew he wasn't slowing down or stopping. And when he hit, I don't remember actually seeing him hit. And I was looking in the mirror, and I have absolutely no recollection of that. And I was not knocked out or anything like that. I remember just before the hit, and I remember the aftermath, nothing in between, which was really strange. You know, that's the first time that I had noticed that personally. And I started thinking back about other accidents and injuries that I've been through. And I bet if you think back in your own traumatic incidences, you'll find something like that. So what happens during that time is that piece of soul flies off somewhere where it's fun, where it's safe, where it has a beautiful life. And it won't come back unless you go find it. And you have to coerce it back. You know, okay, I'll do this. Okay, I'll go to the movies once a week. Okay, I'll go play with my friends. You know, I'll go play with the dog. You know, whatever. Whatever it is that you have to do. Sometimes the piece flies off because you need to buckle down and get a little more serious. Not usually, but, you know, sometimes that happens. So there's all kinds of reasons that these pieces don't want to come back. So it's our job then to find out the reason and to get the agreement between the piece of soul and the person, the conscious person. If people do not keep their agreements, then that piece of soul will be gone. And it will not trust you again. So this is really serious stuff, folks. You know, it sounds real lighthearted and funny and ha-ha, you know, but it's not. It's very, very serious because you can never be whole without all of your pieces. Let me give you another example. I was learning soul retrieval. I had some very good teachers. I've had them on the show. And they said, okay, in order to pass this course, you have to do a soul retrieval on two of us. I said, okay. Yeah, it was pretty interesting. So I did one on this woman. And I wasn't finding a lot for her until I got to one point. And I followed it and realized that the boyfriend that she had been with, her husband or whatever he was, I can't remember now, was really miserable. And what I saw was I saw like the diamond had been fractured into a gazillion shards and they were all floating around him. And she had said that she couldn't save him and she loved him very much and he made her life miserable. And as I looked at this guy and looked for his soul pieces because I had to get his back to get hers back, all I saw was millions of these pieces of shards floating around him in a cloud. And I said, wow, I don't even know what to do about that. So I made an etheric bag. I collected all of those pieces. And then you have to wash them off. You know, you wash all the trauma off of them. And then you put them back in the person. So, you know, we had to call in archangels on that one and get the permission to bring those pieces back. And then I was able to retrieve her pieces that he had stolen and wouldn't get back to her. And we made the agreement, you know, brought the pieces back. So that was one thing. There was another one that happened where the other teacher is a man who sees the things that are done on the etheric by the bad guys, including our government. And he sees these things very clearly, and he's been under a lot of attack and has some really interesting photos of things coming into his room and after him. And, you know, I've been at the house. I've seen a lot of things myself. So I said, okay, I don't know where this is going, but I'll go ahead and I'll do this. So I go off looking for his soul pieces, and I find myself on a spaceship with these two scientists torturing the piece of his soul. And they had electrodes in it, and they had probes, and they had all kinds of stuff going on. And the piece of soul was screaming. Now, this is a guy who had been through some really rough stuff, was programmed by the government, programmed to kill, basically, and very, very serious stuff. So these guys were torturing his soul. I went in there, I took out the bad guys, grabbed the piece of soul, washed it off, put it in my bag. And as I was going out and the alarms were going off in the spaceship and beings were running in from all over the place, I found myself in the hold. And I looked up, and it was like there were millions of little vending windows with soul pieces behind them. I said, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And I looked at that. I thought, I cannot leave this without freeing those soul pieces. So, again, called in the archangels, freed up the soul pieces. And then I said, how am I going to get them back to their owners? There's millions of them. And then I thought, well, all I can do is bring in the river of light, the rainbow of light. And I threw them all through that and said, go find your rightful owners. And so they all went off. Well, then I noticed there was a beam of light going from this spaceship to another planet. I followed the beam. It was a dark planet. I found myself in the office of a demon who was laughing at me because I was throwing bolts at him and nothing was happening. And I said, I stood there and contemplated him for a while, and I thought, well, these things, their only power comes from an outside source. They don't have power within. So I started looking around for it, opened up a closet, and there was a glowing brain type thing. Now, people, I realize this sounds crazy, okay? But this is what happens when you delve into these other realms and into all these healing techniques and things. So to shorten it up, what I did was destroyed the brain. He melted, blew up the planet, and went away. I knew a retaliation was coming. It came in less than 24 hours. What happened was I felt these things creeping up as soon as darkness started to fall. And three fires started spontaneously in my house at different times. And each time my guidance team warned me, and I was able to stop it. Now, that wasn't the end of it. There were beings that attacked in the middle of the night. There were things that were done to my body that, I mean, after about the third one, I started laughing. Because really, and this is what I want you to get from this, the darkness has no power over us. None. The only power it has is what you give it. Remember I just said it has to have an external source? It does not have the power within that we do. We contain the power. That's why they're trying to stop us, because we don't know it. So if you take nothing else from this discussion tonight, take that. All the power that you need is within you. So don't give it up, okay? Make sure that you do everything you can to be as strong as you possibly can, to really pull your soul pieces back together and to really move on from there and to help others. So I'm telling you these things that sound crazy so that you understand that there's a lot going on out there. And like I'm very fond of saying, just because you don't see it doesn't mean it isn't there. And now there's more and more people that are seeing things and wondering what the heck is up. There's shadow beings, there's ghosts, there's ghouls, there's all kinds of things out there. There's ETs, there's interdimensionals, and people are seeing more and more of them. That's because the veils are getting thinner. And remember, I've said before that we are separated from other dimensions by as little as a tenth of a hertz. So if you consider that life is this big radio, you're tuning through the bands, what happens when there's bleed over? This is why people are starting to see more. So there are things that we have that have been around since the beginning of humanity, like soul retrieval, that can really help us to heal. And oftentimes I've had patients come to me who no one has been able to help. And I'll look at them and I'll know immediately that they need a soul retrieval, and that's what the problem is. They can't progress until they get a soul retrieval. Now, there's a danger in that for the person who's suggesting these things, because some people will go completely wacky when they start getting their soul pieces back. And the reason that that happens is because their conscious mind can't deal with it. And so so it's not always well received. You know, people like to think they know how life is. And pretty much if you think that, I can tell you right now, you have no clue. Because life is so incredible. We are so incredible. We have so many facets to us. We have so many dimensions that we live in simultaneously, that it's very important to start to realize these things so you don't go crazy when the bleed-through really starts to get intense. Okay, so that's why I'm telling you this. Well, that and the fact that I really don't care if anybody thinks I'm crazy. You know, what is, whether people believe in it or not. And I'm sure there's plenty of you out there that know that because you've been through similar things. So now back to the soul retrieval. So what happens when you bring the peace back then is you have to keep your agreements. If you've agreed to have more fun, you have to go have more fun. What happens when the pieces come back, particularly with someone that has an illness, and especially a very intense illness, like anything that's terminal, anything that's chronic, anything like that, what happens is you start to have miraculous cures. Because what you're doing is you are restoring the body to a state of functioning that it hasn't been in for a long time. And it can't get beyond that without the pieces. So there's a certain critical mass of pieces that you need to have back. How much, I don't know. You know, I'm not one of those psychics that can look at you and tell you how many pieces are still gone. There's plenty of psychics that probably could. My talents kind of lie in a different direction. Now, there's another reason why you want soul retrieval done. Because that emptiness that's in your soul can then house a demon. And there's more and more demons and ghouls coming at the earth right now. And it's due to increase, not decrease. That's because we are nearing this major transitory time where we are supposed to become more. And so the game is that the bad guys are going to try to stop us. And for us, our game is to get past them. So, you know, I don't want you to be scared, okay? I just want you to understand that there is something more going on here than most people realize. So you want your soul pieces back so there's no room for anything demonic to be in there. There's no room for hangers-on, which can be ghouls, that can be, you know, just disembodied entities that are afraid to go into the light and still want to enjoy smoking or drinking or drugs or whatever, or driving fast cars or, you know, bungee jumping, whatever it was that they enjoyed in life. Not everything's necessarily bad. You know, sometimes they're lonely souls that are afraid. So there's all kinds of things out there that can interfere with us. But as long as you realize that the power is within you, you're fine. And so you just need to, kind of keep that foremost in your mind. So now I think I've told you enough about the soul retrieval. Now I want to talk a little bit about healers. There are a lot of people out there that are noticing, particularly now, that they have healing abilities. They can do distance healing. They can do hands-on healing. They can pray for people and they get well. And so there's a lot of people waking up to this and saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to be a healer. Let me mention something first. Not everyone wants or needs healing. Most people will say they do. Oh, yes, I want to be healed. But you have to look beyond it. You have to feel, what is it that's the truth? Because a lot of times, I've had people tell me that they are desperate for healing, and I look at them and I say, no, I'm not buying it. And they go, no, I really want to be healed. And I look at them again and go, I'm still not buying it. You know, your mouth is saying that you want to be healed, and maybe your conscious mind believes that. But your spirit is telling me that's not true. And I've even had cases where the spirit had left like 6 months before or a year before. And I had to do a couple techniques to bring the spirit back enough to make sure that's really what was going on, that the spirit was done with that body. So if you're with someone who is near death, whether it's a day, 2 days, 6 months, a year, whatever, and they've already determined that that's what they want to do is go, then you may notice that somebody else slips in. That's the term that everybody uses is walk-in. There's a lot less walk-ins out there than most people would like to believe. Normally when there's walk-in, there's no recollection whatsoever of the previous life. And so if somebody says, oh, well, I was this and now I'm that, it's like, no, that's not a walk-in. The walk-in has no memory of what the person had been through previously. So people think they have amnesia. What happens in the other cases is that they may allow something else in there because they just don't want to play the game anymore. They're still there, but they would rather be somebody else and let somebody else take control. So that stuff's going on all over the planet, too. There's a lot of good reasons for that. Like I said, you know, life is hard sometimes, and people just don't want to play anymore. So if that happens to someone that you know, just be gentle with them. You know, and you can pray for them, because sometimes it's a possessing spirit. If you've got a Jekyll Hyde thing going on, you know, where the person that you know is really nice 1 minute, and then they flip, and you have no idea why, and they're the nastiest, rottenest, meanest SOB around, you've got a possession. And it's very distressing, because they will make you feel like you did something wrong. But in reality, what's happening is that something else is in there with them. Now, you can pray for them, but even if you had an exorcism done, they may bring that entity back. And this is a problem with a lot of little kids right now. There are some truly evil children on the planet. And I hate to have to say that about kids, and there may be some people that disagree with me, but I've seen some of these kids, and they are fully possessed, and possessed beyond what an exorcist can handle. Now, the reason I say that is because the sovereign entity of the body that's supposed to grow up in that body has attachments from previous lifetimes or whatever. And so they will bring those demons back right into them as soon as they're taken out. And you'll see their sweetness and their wonderfulness for a very short time. And then all of a sudden everything's back to normal. So don't despair if you find something like that. Just realize that that's that entity's choice, and as harsh as it seems, especially with little kids, this does happen. So I've heard a lot of people berate themselves. Oh, I just couldn't handle it. You know, I wanted to adopt this little kid, but I just couldn't because I could see myself killing him. It's like, yeah, it's a good thing that you know, get rid of something like that, you know, because you don't want to end up in jail. But you need to know, too, if you're in one of those situations, there's pretty much nothing you can do. You can try. I'm not saying don't try. But if you notice that you have an exorcism done and the kid's back to the way they were, you know, maybe a half an hour later, maybe a day later, then you're working with something that you may not be prepared to handle and that most exorcists are not prepared to handle. So, you know, it's kind of sad news to have to tell people that. But, you know, not everybody wants and needs a healing. There are people who are possessed that really do want help. and sometimes they can't get well until they're depossessed. There are other people that, you know, they're just lacking the energy to heal. My concern with new healers is that they're so excited about the ability to heal somebody that they will lay their hands on anybody. And sometimes it's not appropriate. You should always ask. It's kind of like, as a doctor, I had to learn that when Spirit tells me not to take someone on as a patient, I should listen. Because most of the time when Spirit tells me to avoid that person, it's for my own good, because that person's going to flip on me and do something. And that's happened every time. So now I'm getting smarter, you know. Now I check with Spirit, and Spirit says, don't do it, I don't do it. Now, it's not always that it's going to be bad for me. Sometimes it's because, you know, I'm not meant to get in the way. You know, there's something else going on. Maybe the person's supposed to be ill. Maybe they have somebody they have to meet. And if they were seeing me, they wouldn't meet that person. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I don't really care. It doesn't make any difference to me. All I care about is I do what my higher guidance is telling me to do. And it's always right. So that's one of the things to consider if you're a budding healer. The other thing is I stopped doing healings, the hands-on stuff, a long time ago. The reason I did is because I started seeing that when I laid hands on people, yes, they got healed. I was one of those people that I could slap you on the forehead, yell, heal, and you would be healed. But what I started seeing was portions of my own life were showing up in the lives of other people. And it was shocking, because I've been kind of a wild child most of my life. If I want to do something, go do it. And I don't much care about what anybody thinks about it, because this is my life. It's my experience. I do not live my life for other people. It took me a while to get to that point. But once you get to that point, you realize how precious your own life really is, and that it's your responsibility to develop it. So I have done some things in my life that most people would run screaming from, and it's very interesting. I don't care to repeat them, but I've done some pretty interesting things. And when I started seeing some of those things happening in other people's lives, when I knew that they weren't that wild, I went, uh-oh. And I said, something is wrong here. I went to see my teacher, and I said, I don't think I should be laying hands on people, even though I can. He said, no, you shouldn't. I said, why? What's going on? And he said, well, he said, all healers go through this. He said, until you are at the level of a Jesus or a Buddha, your filter is not clean. Your filter is polluted. So he said, it's not that you can't bring through the brilliant white light. You can. But he said, you bring it through, and it goes through you and goes to the person. And he said, if your filter is polluted, you have to know how much is it polluted. Is it 95% polluted? He said, you can still heal someone totally of a terminal disease with 5%. However, you're going to dump 95% pollution into them at the same time. And he said, then that brings karma onto you, because they're going to have to deal with some of your life with your karma. And he said, that's very bad, because you generate a lot of karma for yourself that way. And I said, oh, holy cow, I didn't want to do that. And he said, right. And he said, just realize that, you know, it's just not safe to do that anymore for anybody. So he said, the safest way to do healing is to do a prayer of intercession. Now, you can hold somebody's hand if you want, or you can hug them. You can do, you know, whatever it is that Spirit moves you to do. But the best prayer that you can do for healing now is the prayer of intercession, where you ask for help for that person. And just remember, you don't demand, you don't say what should happen, because you don't know. You know, it could be the worst thing that could ever happen to someone is to be healed of their terminal illness. Now, I know it sounds a little crazy, but here's why. It could have taken millennia to set up the circumstances for that person and the people around them to learn the lessons that have been planned. And if you step in the way and you take away that particular thing that would help them to learn the lessons quickly, then you have committed a spiritual murder. It's worse than a physical murder, because you have taken away the circumstances that were so carefully set up in order to help so many people to advance to a higher level. This is why there's karma involved. So if you're a healer, I ask you to look at what you're doing very carefully and find another way. You can still do healings on people in less of an intrusive way. And my favorite thing is I call in the archangels, I call in the Lord Jesus Christ. If someone has a different guide that they work with, like Buddha or Krishna or Shiva or, you know, any of the other ones, we call in, you know, whoever's appropriate for that person and call them into the space and then tell them what we want. You know, ask for healing for that person. Ask that the way be made clear for them. You know, ask them to ask for what they want. And then just provide the loving space. Just be love. That's what the real healer is anyway. We don't heal anybody. You know, we can be the person who's present there, but we're really not healing anybody. They're healing themselves. And they're healing themselves in the only right manner, because they are facing their own karma, and they are facing their own desires and their wishes and their missions. We don't know what they're supposed to do. I mean, shoot, half the time I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. How am I supposed to know what anybody else is supposed to do? I mean, granted, I do get hints, you know, but most people, most healers really don't know what that person needs. And, you know, if you wait and you just let the still small voice tell you, sometimes the voice will say, you know, put your hand over here. And you do. And then you'll feel your hand will heat like a blowtorch. That's different than having somebody come into your office for a scheduled healing. And it's different because it's not on demand. And I can tell you, you know, since I switched the way that I do things, if I'm talking with someone and I'm gesticulating, you know, talking with my hands, and my palm all of a sudden heats up like a blowtorch, it'll get magnetically attracted to exactly the area that needs the healing. And then I just stand there and let it happen. I don't direct anything. I don't think anything. I just go, oh, all right, and put my hand there and just let the energy come out, because I have no vested interest in whether or not somebody heals. And it sounds kind of funny to say that. I care intensely, and yet I care not at all, because it has nothing to do with me. I'm just there. And so if you start approaching healing from that aspect, it'll change, and you'll have much more powerful healings happen when you realize it might come through you, but it's not you. You know, and you're really not even channeling the energy. It's being brought through you. And you just allow. Because when you're in that allowance posture, then you remove yourself from the equation as far as whether you're going to create any harm with what you're doing. Because one of the lessons that we have is to be harmless. And having studied harmlessness for over a year, I can tell you there are many permutations of that. And most of the time we go around not realizing how harmful we have been to other people. I mean, it's really intense. And it's hard not to be harmful, because there are so many things in this world that give us no time to think things out. So you don't want to be harmful when you're trying to heal somebody too. Now, if you're a healer and you're listening to me and just finding this stuff out for the first time, then I would encourage you to go within and to see what your next step is. Because it's very, very important just to allow. Don't get yourself caught up in it. And really, everybody has within themselves the power to do exactly what they need to do. We're supposed to do teams. We're supposed to search each other out. But the whole idea is get to the point where we work as a team, where we care about each other enough to allow each person to live their life. It's one of those paradoxes. So let's do a little bit of healing right now. If you're driving and listening to this, you need to pull over to the side of the road or turn this off and listen to it when you're sitting calmly somewhere, not driving or doing anything that requires attention. And just sit and just take a nice deep breath and let it out. Just let it flow gently out of your body. Take another nice deep breath all the way down to the pit of your stomach. And let it flow gently out of your body, taking any negativity, any tension with it. Take another nice deep breath all the way down to your toes. And exhale with a sound. Let it all the way out. Get all the last bit of negative energy out. And now breathe slow and deep. And see in the center of your heart a brilliant golden light, like a brilliant golden sparkler. Take a deep breath and see it increase. It's warm and beautiful. Take a deep breath and see it increase and fill your whole chest cavity, all the way down into your legs, down to your toes, down your arms, up into your head. Take another deep breath and pulse it so that every portion of your being is glowing with this golden light. And now hold your hands out in front of you and see whoever you would like to place in this healing energy. See them like little dolls in front of you, floating over your hands. It could be one, it could be 1,000. However many people that you care about that you'd like to help with healing, see them floating there now above your hands. Cup your hands under them. Take a deep breath and pulse the golden light so that it comes out of your palms and completely envelops these people. So they're floating in a ball of golden light. Take another deep breath and send them another pulse. And see that ball of light increase. Take another deep breath and see again that increase. And now, very quickly, just say one sentence to them, a sentence like, I love you. May you be healed. Now come to full consciousness. And I want you to realize you can walk around with that healing light within you just like that. Look around, stretch, move a little bit. I'm going to leave you in that. I'm not going to bring you out. Because this will increase your healing powers right here, right now. And remember that the healing is something that is within each person. They just need to be reminded. You can remind them by visualizing them floating above the palms of your hands and pulsing them with the golden light and saying something so simple. I love you. May you be healed. And just feel that love. Now, whatever you do as you go through the rest of your day with this energy will automatically be infused with healing energy. And you will never run out. There is no end. So that everything that you touch, everything that you're doing at work, every place that you go, you'll be spreading this beautiful healing energy. It's very simple, very powerful, and you can do it anytime. And until you get used to carrying this healing energy, I suggest that you do this every day, especially for healers. You might want to do it a couple times a day to strengthen it, until all you have to do is think of that golden white light, and you will instantly have it brought up to full power. You can use this energy for yourself by cupping your hands and putting them over whatever area hurts or has a problem, and say to yourself, I love you. May you be healed. That will help you immensely. And it's one of my secrets. So there you go. You got a healing secret. And it's very simple. You know, there are many books out there about healing. There's many teachers of healing. There's many, many modalities of healing. But really all you need is the love and the allowance. So it can be a lot more simple than you think. So I hope that you've enjoyed that. Drop me a line and let me know what happened with you tonight, since I don't have a computer to check that on the fast chat. I'd appreciate it if you drop me a note to my email at dr.valerienmd@gmail.com. That's dr.valerienmd, as a naturopathic medical doctor, @gmail.com. I'd love to hear your stories. Oh, and by the way, this works for animals, too. It works for animals, plants, electronics, anything. And there is no separation, actually. So it'll work on anything. Just bring that energy through and pulse it through, and you'll see some really amazing stuff happen. Okay. So I'm going to sign off a little bit early tonight. And next week, we are going to have Ron Hagee on, Roland Ron, who is a true inspiration. He is an amazing guy. I can't wait for you guys to hear him. And if you saw him, you'd be even more amazed. So he's going to talk about what one person can do. And I hope that you'll be listening, and I hope you'll go to his website and help him out by purchasing some of his products. So tune in next week. And the show has been brought to you by Hydramay Skin Nutrition, all organic, all natural, real skin nutrition, vitamins and minerals and herbs that go right through your skin and help your skin to heal. So please do give that a try if you haven't yet. They have several products, not just skin lotion, and they bring us to you every week. So yay, Hydramay, thank you. Thank you for being our sponsor. And to you listeners out there, I hope you've enjoyed tonight. And until next week, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.
Children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to
do 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 Hello, this is Marco May. I'm really happy you're enjoying the rich variety of music on bbsradio.com. Please give me a visit at www.marcome.com. Hope to see you.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to BBSRadio.com.
No! the past.